Well, we are approaching Christmas. Great time of the year, isn't it? We get to celebrate the birth of our Savior. We get to see all the decorations, all the lights, all the goodwill that we are afforded during this time of the year. But also, interestingly enough, as celebrative or celebrative as Christmas is or should be, some of us, it's kind of quite the opposite. We have a season of hustle and bustle, right? Isn't this one of the busiest times of the year for all of us? I mean, we have places to go, people to see, meetings to go to, Christmas parties to attend, go see this loved one, go see that loved one, and then comes the money part. Uh-oh. And then the gifts. And if you're on a fixed budget like I am, you're trying to be creative with how you are going to do the best, get the best bang for your buck as you seek to bless the kiddos, right? And I just, you know, the older I get, I'm like, why not just be a giver year round? I don't want to sound like an Ebenezer Scrooge, but why do we reserve the giving just to Christmas? Right? Shouldn't we be generous people as we're able to throughout the year? It's really quiet, people. I think maybe I've talked enough about money. But you have that pressure. How many of you know that financial pressure is real during Christmas? Can I get a witness in the house? Right? And it's tough. And then of course, if we want to get more serious about it, you know, Christmas, as wonderful as it is, as much as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, for some reason seems to accentuate our losses instead of our blessings. There's always that empty chair at the table. There's always that person who had been celebrating Christmas with us since time immemorial, and now that person, for whatever reason, is not there. Death, divorce, separation, conflict, estranged loved ones. That's tough, isn't it? And then, can I go on, church family? I know you're going to love me for this next one. You're going to love me to pieces. And what about the sweets? All the goodies and the cookies and the sugar-laden treats. Kiki's giving me the evil eye over there. She's like, you've gone to meddling, Pastor. Now, that's all fun and good, but if we don't watch it, how many of us know that we can get a sugar crash from all that stuff? I mean, you get a real high, and then you come crashing down, and it's a hard crash. And the older you get, I love that boom, brother, and the older you get, the harder that crash is. We're not young anymore, people. Right? I'm just a kid. Thank you, brother. You're going to be getting a Christmas card from me. For sure. But we see all that now. So combine all those, and I'm sure there's much more to it. Combine all those, and it makes for the perfect storm, listen carefully, to be depressed during Christmas. Perfect storm. Financial pressure. Loss is accentuated. Our diets are not the best. I said our, though I don't touch that stuff. But it makes for a season, instead of joy and celebration, it makes for a season, listen carefully, of waking up down. We wake up down. We suffer depression. We have the holiday blues, whatever you want to call them. And so my intent for this message is how to keep close to Christ during Christmas. Because how many of you know, if you keep close to Christ during Christmas, you'll not only survive the holidays, you will thrive during the holiday season. Can I get a witness, please? All righty. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 13. John 13. And we want to look at a passage of Scripture of one of the disciples of Jesus that I believe was the closest one to Christ. And it's predicated by his posture, his physical posture in proximity to Christ in this passage. Let's begin reading with verse 21. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." Now, what I want to draw attention to in this passage is the posture that John the Beloved, you know, I love that name. Can I just take a real quick side journey? I love the way John was referred to. He was John the Loved. So let me ask you a question here. Do you want to be known as one who loves God, or do you want to be known as one who is loved by God? I would much rather be known for as one who is loved by God than one who loves God. Why? 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "Herein is love, not that we love him, but that he first loved us." Who would much rather be known as one loved by God? Because how many of you know my love, our love for God fails? How many of you know his love for us never fails? He is true to us. Okay, so look, notice the proximity to which John had with Christ. Now, that's a physical proximity, church family. I'm talking about a spiritual. Can we be close to Christ during the holiday season? I mean, the obvious answer is yes, but can we personalize that and ask, am I going to make a deliberate attempt this Christmas season to be close to Christ? Am I going to make a deliberate attempt this Christmas season to be close spiritually to Christ? You know, James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." So listen carefully. Every step I take towards Christ is actually two steps in actuality. For every step of mine that I take closer to Christ, he takes a step closer to me. Right? Draw near to God and God will draw near to you in response to your first step. So every step I take towards Christ, it's actually two steps. And if I take two steps, it's going to be two more steps. So there is importance, church family, in staying close to Christ. So real quickly, how do I stay close to Christ? How do I keep close to Christ? Not unlike John, the beloved of Jesus, who was pressed against Jesus' breast, Jesus' bosom. Okay, so spiritually, I want to be in that spot that John had, right? So we want to be in that spot of closeness with Christ. Okay, so number one, then what we're going to do is we're going to talk to Christ and we're going to let Christ talk to us. How many of you understand that it's important to communicate with Jesus if we want to stay close to him? And it's more than just, "Lord, bless us for no more, close the door." right? And it's more than, Lord, bless Aunt Minnie. She's suffering from this. And it's more than just needs. Do we talk intimately with Christ? Do we have, for all intents and purposes, pillow talks with Christ? Where we say, Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, I want to know more of you. I want to express my heartfelt gratitude, Lord, for all that you have blessed me with. And remember, maybe past Christmas where you weren't so blessed, or you didn't think you were that blessed. And now you have it better than in previous Christmases. Or maybe you can reflect back on previous Christmases and said, Lord, I was really blessed. Maybe I took you for granted. I'm sure that never happens with any of us believers. So it's important that we talk intimately with Him. And listen, part of being intimate with Christ, can I shoot you straight, church family? Is you got to get rid of all this Christianese if you're going to talk Jesus straight and real. And you got to always be authentic with Him. Because how many of you know He doesn't bless Chuck and Jive? He doesn't bless all these flowery religious words. He wants your heart. He wants your honesty. Only then can He do something with us is when we get real with Christ. Right? Got really quiet. The second part of that is letting Him talk to you. Do we let God talk to us? How many of you believe that the Lord speaks to His own, to us today? Amen. And you know, primarily I'll say He'll talk to you. You know, some people say, well, I never hear the Lord speak. Well, you know, it's got tons of words of His. He's speaking here. If you just do this, you know, you'll find out what He's telling you. I'm getting ahead of myself. But the Lord speaks to us today. You know, I remember when I was first married and my oldest, she's now 29, she was not even 1 year old. And my family and I, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, far away from any of our family, far away from my family in Texas, and far away from her family in New Mexico. And we didn't have much money. And we had our first daughter, and all our friends that lived in Tulsa were gone for the holiday. They were with their families, and it just stunk. Can I say it Texas style? It sucked. That's in the Greek. Somewhere in there. It stunk, and I was depressed. I'm telling you the truth, I was depressed. And I remember my bride at the time, she would play these worship songs in the morning while she was getting ready for work, while I was getting ready for work. And I'll never forget one of the songs, you know, they were all playing on and on. And so I remember at that time looking at my bride and I said, how can you play that kind of music when we are in the dumps during Christmas? I'll never forget, she looked at me and she said, Joe, God's going to take care of us. Really made an impact. But anyway, so I went on my day, dropped her off at her work, went on my day, and I'm in the office, and I kid you not, one of the songs that was playing, that she had playing, kept rolling around in my mind. I can tell you which song it was. It was by Don Moen. But it was a song entitled, Why So Downcast, Oh My Soul. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Whoa, why so downcast? That song kept going around and around and around in my mind. And I thought, you know, I think the Lord is speaking to me. And maybe I need to have a self-talk about putting my hope in God. Amen? So the Lord speaks to us. So that's first point. If I want to keep close to Christ during Christmas, then I've got to talk to Him genuinely, and I've got to let Him talk to me. Second, we must be reading His love letter to us on a daily basis. What's His love letter? It's called the Bible. Amen?
Yeah.
That's a love letter. And church family, one of the best things we could ever do is personalize these promises to ourselves. This was not just written for the world. This was not just written for the masses. This was written to me. As if I was the only human being on the planet. You know that promise in Jeremiah, not a promise, it's a reality. Jeremiah 33:1, I have loved you with an everlasting love. How about that love letter? How about, no man shall pluck you out of my hand. No man shall pluck you out of the Father's hand. I have given you eternal life and you will never perish. John chapter 10. Huh? How about the God of hope will fill you with all hope so that you may abound with thanksgiving and peace. What about those love letter promises? Aren't they real? If we just personalize them, if we just take them into our soul, into our hearts, into our minds, and allow the Lord to speak to us through His Word, right? What about, you know, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. How many of you are thankful that, you know, the weeping season is only for a time? But joy comes in the morning. And the joy you get to celebrate in is much greater than the tears you shed over the sadness that happened. Right? What about, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can manage during this Christmas season. How about, God is my shield and my reward and He is the lifter up of my head. Psalm chapter 4. Huh? Come on somebody, am I preaching to, who am I preaching to this morning? He is the lifter up of my head. I will look unto the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's here to help me. That was Psalm 121. What about Isaiah 41:10? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Breaking it down for you, baby. I'm giving you the love letter. Personalize that. What about Philippians 4:19? My God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Huh? Do I need to be depressed in light of all those promises? And those are just a sampling. That book is full of them. I'll tell you what, I'm already pumped up. I don't know about you, just quoting those. I'm already pumped up. He's a God of joy. He's a God of hope. He will fill us with all hope. Okay, so that's number two. What about number three? Let's go to number three. Number one was talk to Him, let Him talk to you. Number two is read His love letter. Read all the promises. Apply them to yourself. Number three, listen carefully, church family. Tend to the underprivileged. Tend to the underprivileged. Go with me to Mark chapter 10, please. Let's begin reading with verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. That is, no one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." Verse 20, and he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, what are the next two words? He loved him. See, we oversee those words and we say, well, Jesus dropped the hammer on that dude. No. He said, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the whom? And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." You know, Keith Green, how many of you remember Keith Green? He was like a prophetic psalmist in the late 70s, early 80s. He had a very short life. His life was cut short due to an airplane crash in 1982. But his songs still live on today. It's just the most beautiful, worshipful songs, prophetic. And he used to sing, "It's so hard to see, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me." How telling. It's so hard to see during the Christmas season when my eyes are on me. So what if I take time? You might not have money. That's okay. Can we spend time with someone? Can we do something for someone that they can't do for themselves? Did I lose you guys? I mean, isn't that the heart of the gospel? Isn't then the book of Proverbs say that do not withhold to him who lacks something when it is in your power to help them? Isn't that the spirit of Jesus? Helping someone less fortunate than ourselves? Can we spend time to volunteer? Can we help feed someone? Can we be a blessing to someone? You know, I get frequently, you know, several ministries that send me letters about giving to their cause and such. And I got one that I had been giving to them over the years. This is on top of my tithe, you know, on top of offerings and such. I got one that said, you know, this amount of money could feed these amount of hungry children in Africa. But it's a reputable ministry, you know, James Robinson. And so I thought, yeah, I should probably give. And I just kind of put that aside, totally forgot about that. Well, week passed. And I thought, I haven't done anything. And so I got another letter from this ministry, and they said they had a benefactor step up and said, whoever gives a certain amount, we will triple their amount, so make their offering count three times as much. Well, I jumped on that. And I called the ministry, I gave them my credit card number, and I'm not telling you that so that I could say, look what I did. It's more to say the feeling I had after that, it made me feel so good. Listen, church family, generosity and helping those who can't help themselves will give you a good feeling. It releases endorphins in your body. Without you having to exercise. Thank you for that, amen. Jim or Al, whoever it was. It was Al? Thanks, Al. See? We aim to please. And the last one is, listen, church family, focus on what you have. Don't focus on what you don't have. How many of you still have your health? Amen. I mean, I was at Casey's, and I had a gentleman knows me. He's a pastor in town, and he said, "Hey, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah. What's going on?" He said, "Well, I hear you've been at the hospital a lot." I said, "Oh, well, that's my job." Well, you know, to me, that puts things in perspective, right? I mean, church family, you could have it. If you have it bad, it could be much worse than you have it right now. Come on, somebody. Amen. We don't have to look too far to know how bad we can have it. Right? And who has three square meals a day? Some of us have a little more than that. That's okay. Not going to comment on that. How many of you have your health? You can get around. How many of you have a car? Enough money to put gas in your car? How many of you are going to go to a house this afternoon that's going to have climate control? You can heat the house. In the summer, you can cool the house. How many of you have indoor plumbing, running water inside? Amen. How many of you don't have to go to the outhouse? You can go to your restroom. Right? Need I go on, church family? And see, just those blessings that I mentioned, you're in the top 3% wealthiest people in the world. Just those things. Top 3% wealth. Well, Joe, I don't make what, you know, Mr. Warren makes. Warren Buffett makes. Okay? Who cares? Compared to people in Africa, you are a multi-billionaire. Amen. So listen, I want to encourage you, church family, those four encouragements. Talk to the Lord. Let Him talk to you. Read His love letter. Tend to the underprivileged in whatever shape, form, or fashion that takes. And don't forget, don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you do have. Jesus said in the book of Revelation to one of the churches, He said, guys, I don't want you to weep over what, you know, you suffered loss in your church. But He said, strengthen that which remains. Focus on what you do have. Don't focus on what you don't have. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your word. Father, it's just a simple message to encourage us to approach these next several weeks close to You. We want that closeness, Lord. We want to be on solid ground. We don't want to be shaken. We don't want to drift. We don't want to allow circumstances to cause us to be farther apart from You. We want to be close to You like John was in a spiritual posture with reference to You, to Your heart, Lord. Thank You for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.